Rishi watched her through his peripheral vision. She set her book carefully down, dog-earing a corner of her page with love. When that was done, she picked up a chrysanthemum and studied it closely, turning it this way and that.
"I like it,"
she pronounced finally, setting it back down and looking up at him.
"How do you know how to do that?"
Rishi shrugged nonchalantly.
"Picked it up."
She nodded, curls bobbing.
"Cool. Maybe you could teach me." "Nah, it'd take too long,"
Rishi said.
"Besides, your hands are too small."
Rishi wasn't entirely sure this was true, but it wasn't like the girl would know any better.
"Hey, that's not... Dampa!"
The girl froze, looking toward the door.
"That's Mama. I have to go."
She grabbed her book and began to slide off her chair, but right before she was completely out of reach, Rishi grabbed her wrist. She looked at him, confused. He pressed the chrysanthemum into her small, sweaty hand.
"Keep it,"
he said, his gaze boring into hers like he'd seen Shah Rukh Khan do to a dozen different actresses in a dozen different Bollywood movies.
"Remember me,"
he paused.
"And don't tattle."
The girl glanced down at the flower and then up at him again. She nodded solemnly, like she understood the gravity of this moment. She wouldn't tattle. Then, closing her fingers around the flower, she slipped out of the conference room, shutting the door quietly behind her. Chapter 28. Rishi. On the cold stone bench, Rishi exhaled. "That was you?" he asked, staring at Dimple. His brain delighted at the impossibility of this, at the sheer coincidence that that tiny serious girl in the blue lenga now sat opposite him, looking at his sketchpad. Dimple laughed, shaking her head.
"I know. Crazy."
Shrugging, she added,
"I mean, not crazy crazy. We do both live pretty close to each other, and our parents are part of the Indian community in NorCal, which isn't that huge."
"No." Rishi rubbed the back of his neck. "Still crazy." Softly, he said, "Kismet." She looked at him, big eyes luminous and almost black in the light from the phone.
"Kismet."
And then Dimple Shah put her hands behind his head and pulled him in for a kiss.
Dimple. In retrospect, Dimple wasn't quite sure how it happened exactly. One minute they were talking about the crazy coincidence of having met about 8 years ago at some random wedding, and the next, she was attached to Rishi's face. Her heart pounded in her chest. It echoed around the world. Her blood was fire, flames licking at her skin. Oh God, he wasn't kissing her back. Why wasn't he kissing her back? Rishi sat rigid as a statue while her mouth moved against his. The minute Dimple realized this, she pulled back. Cheeks flaming, she forced herself to look him in the eye. "I'm sorry, I didn't realize... I don't know what happened there, exactly." Rishi cleared his throat, his eyes slightly glazed. Dimple turned away, back to his sketchpad, although she wasn't seeing a single sketch anymore. "I'm sorry, too," he said, and her heart sank, dripping in a sad, cold puddle to her feet. "I'm sorry you stopped." She turned, hope quickening her pulse. "What?" And then he grabbed her around the waist and pulled her to him, one hand moving up to cup her cheek, thumb just under her jaw, while his fingers tangled in her hair. Rishi kissed her with purpose, with meaning, like he believed this was exactly where they were supposed to be in this moment. He kissed her till she believed it too.
Rishi. Some moments in life were intensely disappointing. You waited and waited and waited, and then summer vacation turned out to be boring.
Your big trip to NYC was awful because people were rude and it rained the entire time. The movie you'd been waiting to watch for months sucked when it finally came to theaters. This moment was nothing like that. This moment was like Diwali and Rishi's birthday and a new Leo Tilden YouTube video all rolled into one. No, scratch that. It was way better than all of those things combined. Rishi was fairly sure he lacked the lexicon to put into words what was happening in his brain and his body right then. Rishi felt clear-headed, bright, delighted, amazed. Dimple's mouth was soft and small and full against his. Her body was warm as it pressed into him, and the smell of her skin and hair flooded him like 1,000 stadium lights. He was kissing her. He, Rishi Patel, was kissing her, Dimple Shah. And she'd initiated the kiss. How the heck had this happened? How the heck could one guy get so lucky? When they finally pulled apart, Rishi's mouth tingling still, Dimple smiled shyly and looked down at their hands, entwined between them on the bench.
So,
she said softly,
that was unexpected.
He leaned over and kissed her forehead, like it was the most natural thing to do. Was this going to be their thing now? Casual kissing? He hoped so. Unexpected, but awesome, Rishi paused. Right? She laughed and looked up at him.
Definitely.
He grinned, his heart soaked in happy. Her smile fading a little, Dimple looked down at a sketch pad, still in her lap.
Rishi?
She took a breath, apparently steadying herself for whatever she wanted to say next. Rishi felt that familiar guard come back up around his heart, like some electric fence.
You should show these to Leo Tilden. Really. These are... they're just amazing. We can go show them to him right now.
He saw in her eyes that she truly believed it, that she felt he had this great gift to offer the world, and how it'd be a tragedy if he didn't, and a surge of affection threatened to flatten him. He tucked an errant curl behind her ear. I think it's probably too late. Dimple shook her head, the set of her jaw stubborn.
We can find out from Kevin what hotel they've put him up at. There has to be some way to...
Rishi ran a gentle thumb over her bottom lip. Can we just sit here instead? Can I look at you? Silently, she nodded. Rishi studied everything there was to study in her face. Every curve and line and shade of color. Then he reached over and took his sketch pad from her lap.
What are you doing?
Flipping it open, he grabbed a pencil from his bag and began to draw. Oh, you'll see, my friend, he said. When Dimple tried to peek, he turned, shielding the page from her view. She laughed.
So it's like that?
Rishi grinned, but didn't respond. In another minute, he'd finished the sketch. He ripped out the paper, folded it, and passed it and the pencil over to her. It was silly, but his heart beat faster. This moment felt more serious than it had any right to feel.
Dimple. Dimple opened the paper. It was an amazing sketch, which, if she hadn't seen Rishi do it in about a minute, she would have believed had taken a lot longer. It showed a boy, hair flopping in his eyes and bulging muscles ripping his shirt sleeves, Dimple snorted, handing a fierce-looking girl a paper flower. He captured her so perfectly in just a few strokes, her oversized square glasses, her wild hair, the furrow in her brow. Underneath the sketch, he'd written, "Will you go on a date with me? Yes? No?" Dimple took a deep breath as an uneasy pulse beat within her. He was trying to make it official, and she wasn't sure she wanted official. She wasn't sure what she wanted, really. Underneath the no, she wrote in, "Other," and handed it back to Rishi. He studied the paper, and she could see the slight disappointment tint his features. But when he looked back at her, he had rearranged his expression to reflect just curiosity. Care to explain? Dimple reached over and turned off the flashlight app on her phone. Somehow it was easier to say things under cover of darkness. The foggy night worked as a salve, taking the sting out of words. Rishi, I can't be your girlfriend. A beat of silence.
Why not?
He said it softly, not as a judgment, but simply in an effort to understand. Dimple's heart hurt. It's not why I'm here. She forced herself to say firmly. She refused to be one of those girls who gave up on everything they'd been planning simply because a boy entered the picture. You know I'm not looking for a relationship right now. Even if the relationship feels right? She paused, listening to the sound of some distant partygoers screech and laughter. Especially if. She saw Rishi nodding in her peripheral vision. In the quiet, she wondered if he was so hurt that he couldn't bear to speak. Then he turned to her, grinning. Okay. So what? We don't have to do the whole relationship thing. You can just go out with me and we'll call it a... non-date. Dimple arched an eyebrow. Rishi... No, listen. It's just like you and Celia going out, right? No strings attached. Neither of us has any expectations. We'll just hang out. Dimple looked at his eager, open face, at the optimism and cheerfulness there, and felt her resolve melting. Sighing, she said, I don't want to hurt you. Rishi's grin broadened. He could taste the yes in the air, apparently. You won't. Just friends. On a non-date. He scribbled something on the paper and handed it back to Dimple. It now said, Will you go on a non-date with me? Laughing, she checked the yes and hoped to heck they knew what they were doing. Chapter 29. Dimple. It was the Friday after the big kiss, as Dimple and Celia had dubbed it. To her credit, when Dimple mentioned it, Celia had squealed in delight, ordered pizza from the 24-hour place around the corner, and made Dimple tell her every single detail ad nauseam so she could help dissect everything. Dimple had tried to explain that she didn't need to do that. That Dimple, in fact, was the one holding back in the non-relationship, but Celia seemed unable to grasp the concept. After a couple of minutes of silence, she'd said, You guys are like Raj and Simran. Dimple had stared at her. Raj and Simran? Like in Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge? Celia nodded. Mm-hmm. How do you know that movie? When you and I began to talk on the boards, I thought I should watch a couple of Bollywood movies on Netflix. Figure out how to be sensitive to your culture and all that. Celia grinned, hanging her head upside down off the bed, her massive pile of curly hair brushing the floor. Course, that was before I knew you were more American than me. Dimple snorted. Well, it was a nice thought, anyway. You guys are just, like, fated to be together, you know? Dimple sighed and lay down. I don't believe in fate, she said, although she and Rishi had talked about Kismet at the party. I believe in logic, and logically, I shouldn't go out on this non-date with him. In class now, Rishi beamed. This is what I have so far. What do you think? Dimple looked at Rishi's sketches, her excitement tempered by the nerves that had begun manifesting themselves every time she looked at him after that night. It was like her body immediately remembered. He was the one she'd locked lips with, even though it had been a week, and tried to turn her into a gibbering, flirtatious idiot. Well, she wasn't a gibbering, flirtatious idiot. She'd just have to remember that and forget the kiss had ever happened, or the fact that their non-date was tonight. The butterflies in her stomach began beating their restless wings again at the thought, and Dimple tried not to groan, What the heck was wrong with her? "These are amazing," she said, a little too loudly, hoping to distract her own brain from its traitorous thoughts. And truly, Rishi had done a remarkable job. He'd sketched out a detailed layout for their app, using the placement Dimple had suggested. Every button was vibrant, humorous, exactly what she'd wanted. "I'm glad you like it," Rishi said, leaning closer to point out something. Dimple got a waft of his cologne, something subtle but deeply male that reminded her of oak trees in the summer sun. Her head almost swam with the memory of their kiss, and she had to blink several times to get her thoughts back on track. "Can do that if you'd like." He was looking at her now, those gorgeous honey brown eyes, warm and expectant. Dang, she had no idea what he'd asked. "Yeah, sure," she said, itching the back of her neck. He smiled quietly to himself like he knew where her mind had been and put away the sketch. Stretching his long legs out in front of him, Rishi folded his hands behind his head, a lock of shiny black hair flopping into his eye. "So," he said, a mischievous flicker in his smile, "you ready for our non-date?" Dimple caught herself wondering again if this was a bad idea. "It's fine," she tried to convince herself for the millionth time. It was a non-date, and she wanted to go on it. That wasn't a big deal. She wasn't compromising any of her values. "Yep," she fiddled with the wheel on her mouse. "Where do you want to go? I don't really know this area too well." Rishi waved a hand. "I've got it all taken care of. I spoke to a few of the guys on my floor, and they recommended a couple of places. Then I Googled stuff, and voila, non-date is all planned out." He grinned. Those stupid butterflies surged up again at his smile, and the way he was looking at her, and the fact that his hair was so sexy, floppy, messy. "Great," Dimple heard the wobble in her voice and tried not to wince. "Can't wait." "Pick you up at 7? Before she could respond, Isabel, whom they hadn't talked to since they'd eaten together at the restaurant almost 2 weeks ago, came over. Her presence was preceded by the smell of her perfume, something fruity and bubbly that threatened to choke Dimple with two hands. She muffled a cough. Isabel stood in front of Rishi, hands clasped before her as she fiddled with one of the many rings she wore. Her booty shorts barely covered her booty. Wasn't she cold? It was foggy and damp outside. But Isabel's midriff looked tan and happy beneath the sheer white tank top she wore. Before she could stop herself, Dimple found herself glancing at Rishi to see if he noticed. She also couldn't stop the surge of vindication when all she saw was annoyance splashed across his every feature. He looked at Isabel for only a brief second before he looked away as if he had much more important things to get to. Isabel tucked a wavy lock of blonde hair behind one ear and looked from Rishi to Dimple and back again. "At Elm, the guys..." Dimple waited, curious. Rishi had his casually bored expression on. But whatever Isabel had started to say, she obviously decided she couldn't finish. Instead, she cleared her throat and said to Rishi, "My dad knows your dad."
"Okay," Rishi said, still seeming less than enthused.
"You never said your dad was the CEO of Global Calm. My dad, totally wants to invite your parents over for dinner. He says Kartik Patel's a total legend." Isabel said this last part wonderingly. Dimple could see her trying to fit the two pieces together, the respect that Rishi's dad obviously garnered, combined with the fact that Rishi was absolutely the dorkiest guy she'd ever known. There were cracks in her perceptions, and she was trying to make sense of them. It was almost fascinating, like watching the part of a wildlife documentary when the gazelle realizes it's being stalked by a lion. How will it respond? What will it do next? Dimple thought in a documentary narrator's deep, polished voice. And then what Isabel had said sank in. Dimple glanced at Rishi sharply, CEO of Global Calm? They, like, provided internet services to basically the entire nation. And his dad was the freaking CEO. When she'd asked before, he'd only said his dad was a corporate executive, but the CEO was the big boss, basically, of a multi-billion dollar company. Dimple studied him closer while he talked to Isabel, but couldn't see it. She'd always assumed the ultra-rich kids were like Evan or Hurry, but Rishi was so... Rishi. Goofy and funny and talented and sweet and so serious about his culture. Rishi seemed so much more like Dimple than like Isabel and the rest of them. Immediately, before she could stop it, that famous Emily Bronte quote popped into her head. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. Dimple blushed and coughed to hide her embarrassment at having had such a gooey, stupid thought. I'll pass on the message, Rishi said nonchalantly, and then turned to Dimple, effectively dismissing Isabel. So I heard about this movie playing at the IMAX theater. Isabel hesitated, looking from Rishi to Dimple and then back again in a slightly frustrated way, as if there was more she wanted to say, but, like before, she decided against it. Dimple watched her walk away before turning to Rishi. What movie? She asked, since Rishi had never completed his sentence. Nothing, I was just done with that conversation. Dimple laughed. Really, it was sort of refreshing to have a boy prefer her company to a girl like Isabel's. That literally had never happened before. Rishi smiled and shrugged. So about tonight, pick you up at 7? Sure. Dimple really hoped he didn't notice how weirdly high-pitched her voice sounded. Chapter 30. Dimple. Dimple pulled at the hem of the kurta she'd bought with Mama. The thing had frayed in the wash, so the silvery gray now just looked gray, a total non-color, like something she'd washed and worn for a decade. She almost wished she'd taken Mama's advice and bought something a little more colorful. Almost. Times weren't that desperate yet. And anyway, Dimple thought, straightening her shoulders and adjusting her glasses, she didn't need to look pretty for this non-date. It was irrelevant what she looked like, really. When Dimple turned around, Celia was sprawled on her bed, watching, chin propped up on one hand. You need something sexier. Aren't you supposed to be sexting Evan? Dimple grumbled. It was Celia's new thing, sexting Evan at all hours of the day and night. When Dimple asked why she didn't just go to his dorm room, she always said, with a sparkle in her eye, pour cultiver le mystère, whatever that meant. From what Dimple had heard in the bathroom and elevators from other girls, Evan was developing a reputation as a player. She tried to broach the subject with Celia, but Celia just changed the subject, as if she willfully didn't want to know. Was she so desperate to fit in with the Aberzombies that she was ignoring the fact that Evan was playing her? Or was she really cool about Evan seeing other girls, in a way Dimple could never imagine being? Mainly, Dimple tried not to be jealous that not only was Celia smart and glamorous and rich and beautiful, but she also spoke passable Spanish, excellent French, and fluent English. While Dimple struggled with both her Hindi and her Serengeti wild hair. Celia sighed dramatically and dropped her head to the mattress, pressing her cheek against the sheet as her curls cascaded adorably all around. She could be the main character in a children's book series, Dimple thought. That's a little complicated right now, Celia mumbled, her words muffled by her hair. He's being difficult to read. And I'm not sure I want to read him. Oh. Dimple picked awkwardly at a loose thread on her sleeve. She was awful at dispensing romantic advice, being so inexperienced in the field herself. Sorry. Whatever. I'll figure it out. Apparently filled with a sudden surge of energy, Celia hopped off the bed and pranced over to her closet. After a minute, she pulled out a sheer something and held it out to Dimple, triumphant. Wear this. Dimple took an automatic step back. What is it? Celia looked wounded and outraged at the same time, her mouth hanging open. It's a dress. It's this season's Ellie Tahari. Dimple wondered if she looked as blank as she felt. Is that a brand? Is that a... Celia clutched the floaty dress shirt contraption to her chest and rolled her eyes to the ceiling in a remarkably on-point imitation of Mama. Finally, looking at Dimple again, she sighed, "Trust me, you need this in your life and on your body." Dimple picked up a billowy something that was probably a sleeve. "I don't even know how to get this on." "I'll help you." "No, I'm not undressing in front of you." "Oh, for God's..." Celia turned abruptly to her dresser, rummaged in a drawer, and thrust a silky slip at Dimple. "Here, put this on, and you can wear the dress on top of that, okay? Can I see you in a slip, or does that go against your virgin sensibilities, too?" Dimple snatched the slip and gestured for Celia to turn around. When she'd slipped off her kurta and jeans and put the way too short slip on, she said, "Okay." Celia helped her, pushing her arms into certain holes and her head into another one. Then she smoothed the fabric over Dimple's hips and stood back smiling. "There. Look in the mirror." Dimple felt a flurry of nerves as she spun around and... whoa. She didn't even look like herself. The dress was snug across her waist and chest, but the slip kept anything too revealing from being revealed. The bell-shaped sleeves hung loose around her arms, and the floaty hem stopped a few inches above her knees. "Here." Celia came up behind her and, using the hair tie she always wore around her wrist, twisted Dimple's hair into a messy, sophisticated bun, leaving some of her curls cascading down. Dimple stared at herself as Celia stood off to the side, smiling like a proud mom watching her kid go off to prom. She couldn't believe she looked like this. She looked like a girl in a magazine. Someone who should pose beside a vintage bike with pastel-colored flowers and balloons. She belonged on a greeting card. "I knew you'd like it," Celia said, smug. "Now do you want to borrow some makeup? Because I could do your eyes in, like, soft mauve and your lips in..." "No," Dimple said, firmly breaking eye contact with her mirrored self. "Definitely no makeup." "But..." Dimple turned to Celia and pushed her glasses up on her nose. "I'd like to look at least somewhat like me." She was already afraid Rishi would think she was trying to impress him or something. Was she trying to impress him? The thought was mildly disturbing, but not enough to change out of this magical someone else dress. "Okay, fine. But that dress goes with these boots." Celia reached into her closet and pulled out a pair of trendy, pseudo-cowboy boots. "I mean, they're like a set. You'll wear them, right?" She looked genuinely concerned Dimple might say no. "I just want you to have a good time, and I know you're going to rock his socks off as you are, but this would really complete the ensemble." Dimple smiled, touched at the realization that Celia really thought of them as friends. This was her way of showing she cared. She was 100% invested in this non-date. Dimple had never had a friend quite like her before, a generous, glamorous fellow coder. "Sure, I'll wear them. Thanks, Celia."
Rishi. Rishi smoothed over his hair. Did his floppy front bang things look better tilted to the right or the left? He flipped them one way and then another. Would Dimple even notice something like that? No, definitely right. Left made him look like an engineer. The kind with pocket protectors, not the cool kind. And for God's sake, why was he wearing this shirt again? He was fairly sure he'd been wearing it the first time they met, and, well, that wasn't exactly the best association, was it? He was unbuttoning the top button when there was a knock at his door. "Who is it?" he called, moving on to the next button.
It's me, Dimple. Sorry, I know we said you were going to pick me up, but I got done early and thought...
Crap. She was here? She was here. Too late now. Rishi buttoned up again and pulled the door open, his heart in his mouth. But the minute he saw her, it thumped back into his chest, where it began thundering at warp speed. Holy hotness, Batman. She looked phenomenal. Rishi couldn't form a coherent thought. Wow, he breathed out and rubbed his jaw, feeling his cheeks heat up when he realized he was staring at her thighs. Eyes up, Adele. You look, just...
Yeah.
Her cheeks were staining a dusky purple as she tugged the hem of her dress, as if she could will it longer simply by sheer physical strength.
Celia sort of bullied me into this, and I don't know. It's really not me, but...
No. You look amazing. He gestured at her, making sure to keep his eyes on her eyes this time. Hard as that was to do. Good job, Celia. She blushed even deeper, which made Rishi want to gather her in his arms. And then Dimple bit her lower lip, and his brain immediately reminded him what it felt like to kiss that mouth, how soft her lips were, how silky her tongue felt that night at the party.
Great. Thanks for that, brain.
With a lurch, Rishi realized his brain was also diverting blood flow to other parts of his body. He immediately began to think of Nani, his grandmother with the hairy mole on her neck jowls.
Yep, that did it.
Whew,
crisis averted.
So, are you ready?
Dimple asked, looking back at him.
Yeah, let's do it.
He closed the dorm door behind him and stepped out into the hall with her. Even under the sickening fluorescence of the hallway, she was beautiful. The ugly gray walls did nothing to mar her perfect cinnamon complexion, although it made most people look like walking zombies. How was that possible? Was it lust? Rishi had heard once you were attracted to someone, your brain could actually rewire itself and make you think all kinds of sucky things about them were perfect. And then, once you'd been together a while, bam! The gauzy lust curtain fell away and you realized you'd married an alligator with bad breath. Dimple glanced at him sideways, in that sneaky yet piercing way she had.
What are you thinking?
Crap. He could not tell her he'd been engrossed with thoughts of Halitosis suffering marine carnivores. Not on their first date. Non-date. Whatever.
Just, you know, the brain. It's an amazing organ, don't you think?
Dimple twisted her mouth to one side.
Yeah, sure. You looked like you'd eaten something really gross, though.
Okay, time to change the subject.
Speaking of gross, you know who I heard from today? My little brother, Ashish.
Oh, yeah? How's he doing?
They arrived at the elevator, where a group of guys were noisily discussing the merits of wet t-shirt contests. Morons. Dimple, looking uncomfortable, pressed the down button, even though it was already lit. Rishi glared at the group, but they were oblivious to anyone else except their own obnoxious opinions.
He's doing great,
Rishi said loudly, hoping to drown them out.
He's got some interest from an SFSU basketball scout, so my parents want him to come up here, maybe check out the campus and meet with some of the team. They're here for practice, I guess. Ashish was here last summer for a camp, but this would be different since he might actually go here for school.
Dimple looked genuinely impressed.
That's really great.
The elevator doors pinged open, and the group of obnoxious guys stepped in. Wait for the next one, Rishi murmured, and Dimple nodded gratefully. One of the guys held his hand out so the door wouldn't close, but Rishi smiled brightly.
Oh no, you go ahead, he said jovially. Our brains need a break from all the unchecked casual misogyny.
The guy immediately smiled and waved in response, but as the doors closed, they heard him say,
Wait, what'd he say?
Rishi looked at Dimple, and she burst out laughing. He thought he could maybe listen to that music all of his life.
You always surprise me,
she said, shaking her head.
In a good way?
He asked, smiling too, not wanting to show her how much he cared.
In a really good way,
she said, holding his gaze just a moment longer than she had to before turning to push the down button again.
So, you think Ashish is going to come stay with you?
Probably. To be honest, I think he's mostly just interested in ogling college girls rather than checking out the merits of the campus. Rishi rolled his eyes.
Oh, like that thought never occurred to you when you were coming here?
Dimple said. The doors opened to an empty elevator, and both of them stepped in. Rishi turned to her as the doors closed. It didn't, he said seriously. I was only thinking of you.
Chapter 31. Dimple. Without thinking, Dimple leaned in closer, just as Rishi inclined his head toward hers. Some faint, still coherent voice inside her intoned that this was already feeling a lot like a date, and absolutely nothing like a non-date. Before they could kiss, Dimple's phone began to play Ride of the Valkyries. Perfect. She jerked back and pushed her glasses up on her nose, registering the way Rishi's face fell as he backed away too. Dimple knew how he felt. The ringtone had doused stomach acid on the butterflies fluttering pleasantly in her stomach. Sorry. She rummaged in her bag, noting with alarm that she was mostly disappointed and only a very little bit relieved that the mood in the elevator now lay shattered in a thousand pieces at her feet. Seriously, she needed to get a grip on this thing, whatever it was, before it got out of control. Sliding the screen to silence the noise, Dimple took a deep breath and said, Mama, can I call you back? What's so important that you can't speak to your own mother? I have to tell you what that Ritu auntie did to Seema. You know she wanted to see that Hrithik Roshan film, na? Vishal was about to take Seema for a date night, and then Ritu decided she was going to go with them. At the last minute, can you believe it? I told her, Ritu, give the kids some private time. Dimple rolled her eyes. Rishi was biting the inside of his cheek to keep from smiling. Of course he could hear, Mama, our lady of the voice like a dentist's drill. Main friend ke saath hoon, Mama, so I'll call you later, okay? Friend? Who's this friend? She sighed and looked at Rishi. He raised his eyebrows like, well, now you have to say it. Dimple wished she were a better liar under pressure, but she knew if she lied now, with no preparation, Mama would instantly be able to tell, and then she'd just get even more unbearable. Better to get it out of the way. Okay, it's Rishi Patel, but please don't get any ideas. Rishi Patel? Karthik or Sunita ka beta? Dimple flushed, sweat prickling at her hairline. God, she couldn't even bear to look at Rishi now. Mama, please, it's not a big deal, she mumbled, squeezing the phone in her sweaty hand. Why had she even answered her phone? Seriously, what had she been thinking? Where are you going? Akele uske kamre mein mat jana, Dimple. God, Mama, I have to go, and of course I won't. She hung up, feeling a stab of guilt at cutting off Mama's well-intentioned advice. But jeez, don't go to his room alone. Like she hadn't embarrassed Dimple enough in front of Rishi already? She was probably on the verge of talking about Dimple's sacred virginity. Slipping her phone back into her bag, Dimple forced herself to meet Rishi's eye. He was still chewing on the inside of his cheek. What? She said, a little more savagely than she'd meant to. He raised his hands. I didn't say anything. Then he began humming under his breath. Dimple recognized the song just as the elevator door slid open on the first floor. Hum tum ek kamre mein band ho, aur chabi kho jai. It was a popular old Hindi song about a couple who are shut away in a room when the keys go missing. Dimple slapped Rishi on his upper arm as they walked toward the doors. Very funny. He burst out laughing, and her heart lifted in mirth in spite of her still bubbling irritation. Oh, come on, it's not that bad. She's just being your mom. Exactly, Dimple mumbled as they strode across the lobby and outside. It was sort of nice that she didn't need to explain the hovering, how it really came from a place of love. Rishi got that this was just what moms and dads did in their world. Dimple took a deep breath, acrid smog and wet mist and herby eucalyptus all mixing together in her lungs. Groups of people and a few couples milled around, all laughing and joking and calling out to each other, some obviously already intoxicated, heading off campus for the weekend. Dimple began to climb the steep road off to their right that led off campus, imagining that they were going to a restaurant nearby, but Rishi put a hand on her arm. Wait a sec. Casually, Rishi grabbed Dimple's hand, and they crossed the road. She tried not to show how flustered she felt or how much she liked the feel of his big, warm, blunt fingers loosely grasping hers. Where are we going? Rishi gestured to a glossy black convertible with the top down. As they got closer, the doors beeped.
Our chariot awaits.
Tossing Rishi a dazed look, Dimple climbed in. When Rishi had shut her door and hopped in his side, she asked, "You drive a Beamer?" Rishi looked at her innocently. "What?" Dimple snorted. "Nothing. It's just that normal people usually take the bus when they want to go somewhere far." He looked genuinely uncomfortable as he pulled out of the space. "The bus. Right." Feeling a little sorry for him, Dimple adjusted her tone from mocking to gently teasing. "This is really flashy for a non-date." Rishi grinned and rubbed the back of his neck, accelerating as they climbed a steep hill. "What are you talking about? Yesterday I ordered a stretch limo when I wanted to run to the store to buy a pack of gum. Isn't that what everyone does?" Dimple laughed. "Totally. Sometimes I'll even order a private jet." They were quiet for a moment, feeling the wind in their hair, and then Dimple said, "So, where are we going?" Rishi shook his head. "Still a surprise. I think you'll like it, though." There wasn't a single place, Dimple realized, that she didn't want to go right now. Not because she wasn't picky, but because she could go pretty much anywhere with Rishi and enjoy herself. The realization was alarming, concerning, and not altogether unwelcome. The glitzy car dipped and reached, engine purring as it climbed the ubiquitous San Francisco hills. Rishi had turned on the seat warmers when he saw Dimple shivering lightly in the wind, so she was now perfectly comfortable. Dimple watched the buildings of the campus recede as they wound deeper into what looked like a residential district. Squat houses in pastel colors lined the road like rows of sidewalk chalk. Little potted plants decorated their stone porch stairs. An elderly man walking a little white dog looked curiously at them as they passed. They came to a stop at a red light. "I feel like a celebrity," Dimple smiled and turned, and found Rishi watching her, unabashed. When their gazes locked, he flushed, the tips of his ears turning pink. But he didn't look away. And Dimple didn't look away. She couldn't. The moment stretched out, soft and gauzy, tangling with dark and heavy. Dimple began to notice other things. How close her bare arm was to his. The heat his body was putting out. The way he smelled, like sunshine and something woodsy and boy. Rishi rubbed the back of his neck and somehow shifted subtly forward. The only reason she really noticed was that his arm was now rubbing against hers. Something inside her went melty and warm. His eyes were all she could see as he leaned forward. Dimple found her lips parting involuntarily, even as she thought, "This is distinctly not non-date behavior." The SUV behind them honked. The light had turned green. Rishi started and turned away the moment gone. Chapter 32. Dimple. Rishi cleared his throat as they sped down the road. Dimple adjusted her dress awkwardly, wondering if he was just as disappointed as she was. That was twice that a kissable moment had been thwarted. A moment later, Rishi signaled left and pulled up to the curb. Hopping out of his seat, he ran over to open her door, ever chivalrous. Neither of them said anything. There was a little charge of electricity in the air, that feeling of pressure right before a storm. Dimple's pulse raced. Did Rishi feel the same? His face was impassive, she couldn't say. Silently, they crossed the little street together, heading toward a bank of narrow storefronts, mostly clothing and record stores, on the other side. Rishi led her toward a greenish-blue storefront. The sign outside read, "Two Sisters Bar and Books." Bar and books? Dimple pushed her glasses up on her nose, feeling fingers of curiosity tap their way along her skin. What does that mean exactly? Rishi twinkled at her. You'll see.
Rishi. The place was just as amazing as when Rishi had come here earlier in the week to scope it out. The vintage Victorian-style red and tan wallpaper, the smell of old book glue, the clink of glasses and hum of quiet conversations and occasional laughter. It was just quirky and different enough to be worthy of Dimple. It was exactly what he'd wanted for their first non-date. Now that it was dusk outside, the store had turned on the hanging lights, and thanks to them and the pink wallpaper, everything was cast with a pink-gold glow. Dimple was staring at the bar and the bookshelves, open-mouthed. Rishi suppressed a self-satisfied chuckle. Oh, yes. Dimple's mind could be considered 100% blown. Well done, Patel.
So is this a bar? A restaurant? With books inside it?
Rishi grinned.
Yeah, the owners get these really cool editions from all over the world. So you can just sip, eat, and read, I guess.
Dimple raised an eyebrow and smiled.
You know we're not old enough to drink, right?
They can make everything virgin, Rishi said. I asked.
Dimple got a funny look on her face as her smile faded.
You asked? When?
A few days ago, when I came in here to check it out.
There was something in Dimple's eyes he couldn't read. She looked away, fiddling with the strap of her bag, and Rishi wondered if he'd said something wrong. When she didn't say anything, he continued, less surely.
So you can look around at the books, pick something up if you like. But, I also...
He paused, wondering if he should actually tell her. Her face, her expression, something was off. Did she think he was overplanning it, putting too much thought into it? Was this all too much for her?
Dimple looked back at him, questioning.
You also what?
Rishi felt the beginnings of panic.
Crap.
Here came the waiter, Willie, Rishi had made the arrangement with, smiling his toothy smile. Rishi tried to tell him with his eyes, since Dimple was still looking at him, that they needed to abort the plan.
Abort. The. Plan.
But Willie just smiled wider and added in a little wave. Double crap.
Hello, folks, Willie said, and Dimple spun around to face him. You must be the lovely Dimple I've heard so much about, he said, taking her hand and pumping it enthusiastically.
Dimple's eyes widened as she looked from Willie to Rishi. It was not happiness Rishi saw there.
Oh, no, no, no.
Rishi glanced longingly out into the street. If it didn't mean abandoning Dimple, he might consider running to the car, jumping in, and taking it all the way home to Atherton. The oblivious, obnoxiously cheerful Willie continued to talk. Why hadn't Rishi noticed before how effervescent the dude was?
Why don't you guys follow me this way? We have a table set up for you already.
He beamed not so subtly at Rishi, totally not getting the vibe that he was trying to put off. Dimple and Rishi followed him to the back, where it was quieter and emptier. He gestured to their table, already adorned with the few books Rishi had specifically ordered and requested to be placed there.
Thanks, Rishi mumbled, and pressed a tip into Willie's palm. Finally looking slightly bewildered at the lack of enthusiasm, Willie had the good sense to take the tip and leave quietly.
They took their seats in the heavy dark wood chairs, Rishi barely daring to look at Dimple. She looked down at the books, realization slowly seeping into her expression. She pushed her glasses up on her nose and picked up one of the small cloth-bound editions.
A Wrinkle in Time,
she said softly.
Yeah, it's, a 2009 special edition. 8 years ago, you know, because she met his eye.
That's the year we met at the wedding.
Rishi felt a little surge of relief. At least she got it. But he didn't know, looking at her, whether she was freaked, or flattered, or just confused. Dimple touched the two other books on the table.
Those are just some of my favorite graphic novels, Rishi explained.
Both of them had first love as their theme, though Rishi didn't think he'd tell her that right now.
I thought you'd, enjoy them.
Maybe.
If you wanted to read them.
He rubbed the back of his neck. This was excruciating. Why the heck had he done all this?
How had he thought this would be a good idea? She'd gone out of her way to make sure he understood that this was a non-date, which meant Rishi was now officially a member of Camp Trying Too Hard. Ugh!
Are you okay?
He jumped a little and looked at her.
What? Why?
Why'd you just groan like that?
Crap. He'd done that out loud?
No reason.
Rishi exhaled.
Look, if this is too much, if you hate it, we can go somewhere else.
But Dimple put a hand on his hand. When he looked up at her, hope blooming painfully in his chest, she was smiling at him, soft and sure.
I definitely don't hate it. Thanks.
Rishi exhaled. You're welcome. At least Dimple didn't hate it. It still didn't mean he could check out of Camp Trying Too Hard yet, but she didn't hate it. So there was that.
Chapter 33. Dimple. Underneath Mrs. Murray's chair, Fortinbras let out a contented sigh. Dimple closed the book and sat back to look at Rishi, smiling slightly. It was crazy how words, just black squiggles on a page, could bring memories rushing back. She remembered lying in bed under the covers long after she was supposed to be asleep, her flashlight shining on these same pages. I love this book, she said, stroking the cloth cover that was so much fancier than the $2 paperback she'd had. I still remember feeling so cozy, thinking of the giant Murray family, how they all loved each other, how they looked out for each other, no matter what. It used to make me wish my parents had popped out a few more. Rishi leaned in, eyes wide. Okay. But what happened to the dad? Does he ever come back? Dimple snorted and reached for the last bite of her salmon slider. Rishi had pretty much inhaled his French onion soup while she read. I can't believe you've never read A Wrinkle in Time. It's a classic. I guess I was too busy reading comics. But seriously, does he ever come back? Dimple pushed the copy of her book forward. Tell you what, you read that, and I'll read your comics. She paused, frowning. Oh, wait, we can't take these out of the store, can we? The tips of Rishi's ears went pink. He dropped his gaze to where his thumb was tracing patterns in the woodwork of the table. Not usually, but these are my books. I ordered them and had the waiter put them here for us, so we can. Dimple's heart fluttered. Rishi had made a real effort for their non-date. He'd scoped out a place he knew she'd love, and she did. If she could live here under one of the tables forever, she'd be perfectly content to do just that. He'd bought books that meant something to her, and to him. She knew she should discourage him. She also knew she didn't want to. If this was how Rishi Patel showed his interest in her, if this was him wooing her, she wanted more. More, more, more. Dimple took a sip of her virgin Cosmo and set it down, forced herself to meet his eye. Rishi, he looked up, every muscle taut. Yeah? I just wanted to say, God, why couldn't the legal drinking age be 18 in the U.S.? European teens didn't know how good they had it. Then again,
You had to be 25 to drink in Mumbai, so maybe they didn't have it that bad. Why the heck was she thinking of drinking laws now?
Dimple forced herself to refocus.
She swallowed.
I'm making headway on the coding. I got past that snag we were talking about yesterday.
Ugh, coward.
His face fell, and her heart followed.
Oh, yeah. He forced a smile like watery chai. Good.
Willie the waiter came over then, that eager, toothy smile still plastered on his face.
Hi. How was everything, guys?
Great, Dimple smiled at him. We're ready for the check.
Okie dokie.
He slipped the leather check holder from his pocket and Rishi reached for it.
We can split it,
Dimple said immediately. But he just shook his head, put in a few bills, and said to the waiter, keep the change.
Are you ready to go?
He was smiling, but it was that same watery chai smile. He'd lost his luster. He'd lost his luster because of her. Dimple's chest felt tight. She should say something to put this right. To tell him how much she appreciated what he'd done. For once, she should just lay out her feelings. She opened her mouth. And then closed it again. Yeah, I'm ready.
They walked outside, the air heavy and pulsing with all the things left unsaid.
This is your chance, Dimple. Say something. Tell him you're having fun, at least.
But she found she couldn't overcome the silence.
At the Beamer, Rishi opened her door, like before, and Dimple slid in.
Rishi hopped in his side. The air felt different from the first time they'd gotten in. Emptier. Stiffer. Colder. Rishi glanced at her.
I thought we might go watch a movie or something, but if you want to go back to the dorms, that's totally fine.
Dimple began to say that the movie sounded fine, but the thought of this continuing silence, this hurt, awkward mixture of pauses and emptiness was too much. She took a breath. And another.
Actually, she said, if you're up for it, there's somewhere else I'd like to go. It's about 15 minutes away. Bernal Heights.
Rishi raised his eyebrows. She saw the hope there, and it made her happy.
What's in Bernal Heights?
Oh, you'll see, my friend, she said lightly, even though her heart was hammering in her chest. He smiled and started the car, pulling into the street.
Okay.
Dimple's mouth was dry. She'd never, ever done something like this before. To give herself something to do, she glanced sideways at Rishi and said,
you forgot the book.
She set a wrinkle in time in the center console.
You're not going to look it up on the internet and read the Cliff's Notes, are you?
He laughed.
No, I'm really looking forward to reading this.
I have a theory.
Charles Wallace is a killer robot.
Dimple stared at him.
Killer robot?
What? You said it's sci-fi, right?
Dimple groaned.
Hiram, not every sci-fi has to have a killer robot in it, Rishi Patel. Just read it.
I don't see the point if there aren't any killer robots. But okay,
Rishi said, and Dimple thought, I love the way your eyes twinkle when you're messing around.
Rishi. About 15 minutes later, Rishi pulled over. This is it, Bernal Heights. Across the street, an old homeless man was yelling at thin air in a flat Boston accent. Rishi wondered what his story was, how someone from Boston ended up there, a 50-something-year-old street person. His story would probably make an interesting comic. Everything's not a story, Rishi, Papa would say. Your head is in the clouds again. Rishi got out of the car and held Dimple's door open. Her face shone, pink and gold tinged in the setting sun. She looked excited. Rishi tried not to get his hopes up. He'd obviously read this whole thing wrong. He'd thought the kiss meant that Dimple was conflicted, that maybe he could win her over even though she'd said this was a non-date. That obviously hadn't worked to his advantage.
She'd been aloof on and off through dinner, and he was fairly sure she saw his gifts as over the line. Ugh. Rishi still felt the echo of the sting of rejection, even though she hadn't said anything outright.